Paul Hagan, winner of the J.G. Taylor Spink Award, Hall of Fame baseball writer, going to join us in just a couple of minutes as soon as I do a couple of things here. And Paul, 2013, made the beautiful speech up in Cooperstown, and always enjoy having him on. But before we do that, we have a birthday wish today, John Wilson. We have to a very huge Giants fan, Dorothy Nelson, just turned 96. 96 years old for Dorothy Nelson. She lives in Ceres, near Modesto. And her pastor, Jim Stotchel, let us know about that. And Dorothy, wish you a happy birthday today. 96 years old. As many people, my mother included, love the Marlin games and listen right up to the end. And I know how many people enjoy listening to Giants broadcasts.
Absolutely. Yeah, Marty, my grandfather's approaching that age, and so he still reads the paper every day to check Giant scores and, yeah, and data, so we appreciate
Yeah, it's great. Dorothy, happy birthday, 96, a huge Hunter Pence fan. How about that? John, I was going to tell you, we went up to Kenwood, the Spa and Inn, on Thursday. You see Giants fans all over. Rick is the chef up there and came out and talked Giants baseball. It's incredible. I tell this to people. You go up into the Napa area up in Kenwood, up there, we had a great time. It's incredible, the reach of Giants baseball. Really, it's incredible to me. The other one, Beer Can Today, is heading out on the water as a rower. You know, she's been a crew fit, which she still does all the time. It's great indoor rowing. It's a great exercise, crew fit in Montclair. But today, out on the water, and take the rowing out on the water. So we'll see what happens with that. We'll get an update on that later. All right, that's our business for today. Let's go back east and bring in Paul Hagan. Paul, MLB Hall of Fame baseball writer. Paul, how are you?
Hey, Marty, how are you today?
Oh, we're doing great. I'm so happy to have you on. I know whenever the Giants-Phillies play that you give us a perspective on what's going on in Philadelphia. I guess the first question I ask you, are the Philly fans patient? Because this version of the Phillies, watching them last night, I said, my goodness, there's very little left.
Marty, that's one of those questions you ask, we already know the answer, right?
Okay. How impatient?
Fans are not patient.
How impatient are they? Is Ryan Sandberg in trouble? Or what are they saying?
Well, I mean, I think that obviously when a team has one of the worst records in baseball, both the manager and the general manager are going to come in for some heat. I think probably there's more heat on Ruben Amaro, the general manager at the moment, partly because he's been here longer, partly because it's perceived, you know, that this is his team and he put it together, and partly because he made some ill-advised remarks about a week ago about fans not understanding baseball. So I think that Ruben is probably more of a lightning rod for criticism right now, plus the fact that his contract is up at the end of this season. But Phillies fans are not happy, clearly, with what's going on right now.
All right, so the big question becomes, I know, look, the Giants would love to be in the middle of this as well, and I don't know where this is going to end up, but I've seen people on the trading block for a while and a lot of speculation. I don't know if I've ever seen one like Cole Hamels, where every single day for about the last 7 months his name has come up. What's going to happen with Cole Hamels?
Well, it's interesting. Cole Hamels, first of all, is very available. He does have a limited no-trade clause, but I think at this point in his career, if he had a chance to go to a contending team, I think he would probably waive that if the team was not on his list of teams he could be traded to. But I also think it's important to say the Phillies are not going to give him away. Cole Hamels, I think, is a tremendous asset right now. He's only got 3 years left on his contract after this. If you went out and signed Cole Hamels as a free agent, you're going to give him 6 years, 7 years, maybe even 8 years. So you limit that by trading for him now. He's got 3.5 years plus an option left on his contract. And he's making a lot of money. He's making a little over $20 million a year, but that's not out of line for a top pitcher. And he's really, really good. So I've read some people say things like, well, the Phillies should have just taken the best offer on the table at the end of spring training. Well, I don't agree with that. I think the Phillies have in mind what he's worth, and if somebody offers what they think he's worth, he'll be traded. Otherwise, I think they're content to keep him, and if he gets hurt, then I guess he gets hurt, and that's the risk you take.
Boy, interesting. You talk about the Red Sox, the Dodgers, and all these teams in the middle of it. I'm amazed, honestly, that no one has come up with the package for him yet. As each day goes on and the Red Sox get more buried, or the Dodgers' rotation is always in flux right now, I'm amazed that no one's ponied up for him. I really am.
Well, I mean, you look at a team like the Red Sox, and you know, they were probably the team that we all thought that if he was going to get traded in spring training, he would go to the Red Sox. But they're in a situation now where they're having trouble scoring runs. They're not far out of it because the AL East is sort of bunched up. But, you know, if I'm the Red Sox, sure, I would love to have Cole Hamels, but I got to wonder if that's my priority at this point, too.
Boy, that is the truth there. And I know you're in the Boston area. Pablo Sandoval, I wonder if he's giving up switch hitting. What do you hear about that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's clearly he hasn't been the hitter that the Red Sox had hoped. I think a lot of us felt like the Giants were an awfully perfect fit for him. But sometimes, you know, when a player decides that he wants to go for more security or more money or whatever, this is what happens. You know, and sometimes I think players, it takes them a while to adjust. And I do believe the players who sign big contracts sometimes forget that they're getting the money just to be the player that they are. They don't have to, you know, go to their new team and try to do 50% more than they were doing, because you can't do that in baseball. So, you know, hopefully for the Red Sox and hopefully for Pablo Sandoval personally, he'll settle down and become the player that he used to be.
Yeah, the other parts of the team better do their job too, because when they don't, and of course then the focus is on the free agents, and that's kind of what's happening there. Paul Hagan with us, MLB writer, Hall of Fame writer. Paul, give me the good about the Philadelphia Phillies. And I looked at it last night. There's a couple players that I like, but what's good about this team right now?
Well, that's a tough question. Cole Hamels is good. Aaron Harang is good, even though his last start wasn't as good as it's been. But, you know, the better those guys pitch, the more you wonder if they're going to be here after July 31st. Chase Utley got off to a horrendous start. He was batting .099 in May at one point. He's been a lot better since then. He doesn't have the power. He doesn't drive the ball the way he used to, but at least he's hitting for a better average. Maikel Franco, the young third baseman they brought up, hit a couple of important late home runs in the eighth inning on back-to-back nights to tie the game. He's still not hitting for the average that they would hope, but he's a good defender. And, you know, he's one of the guys that they brought up, and they're hoping that he's going to be a big part of their future as they try to rebuild. On the other hand, the bullpen, which was really good last year, hasn't been nearly as good. Jake Diekman has not been as good as he was last year. Justin DeFreitas has not been as good. The starting pitching after Harang and Hamels is you know, you just really never know from night to night what you're going to get from those guys. And the offense, frankly, is awful. They just don't score very many runs. They don't hit many home runs. They don't score a lot of runs. So this is a team that has a ways to go to be a contending team again. But I do think if everything were to go right at the trading deadline, well, first of all, in the draft, it starts Monday. You know, it all starts there. But they have some pieces. They have some players. If they could make two or three really good trades at the deadline, and a lot of that's beyond their control, you know, that's got to be teams that have a specific need that they can fill and a willingness to give up what it's going to take to get these guys. But this could be a really great turnaround trading deadline for the Phillies if they can trade a couple guys and get what they need in return.
All right. Well, that's the story of baseball. And when you have the major league chips, you know, you want to be able to regroup, and some general managers do it better than others, and the Phillies certainly are on the clock, as they like to say, because they really have the pressure to make sure they make a good trade. Paul Hagan with us. Paul, you know, it's funny. I just happened to watch the game last night, the first one I've really watched from Philadelphia in a while. Boy, is that ballpark small. I mean, Justin Maxwell, I think if he gave him 500 at-bats there, he'd hit 35 home runs. I think Susak would hit 30 home runs there. That it is just so inviting. Boy, you get the ball up in the air and everything looks like it's going out.
Yeah, it's bigger now than it used to be. After the second year of Citizens Bank Park, they took out two rows in left field to make it a little deeper. But it is a hitter's park for the most part. I think it's playing a lot fairer now than it did at first. But it still is a hitter's park, and you know, especially if you're a right-handed pull hitter, you would probably really like to play there.
Well, I see it. I mean, Justin Maxwell hit one in the upper deck last night. It looked like an old Richie Allen shot over the top of Connie Mack Stadium or something. Really, I mean, the ball was just crushed last night. So I don't know. I mean, as a pitcher, I realize they've won a lot of games there. But boy, you better keep the ball down. One last thought for you, Papelbon. He is another trade piece, and I know he wanted out. He's having a terrific season. Is he going to go?
Well, again, he'll go if a team is willing to give up what the Phillies think they need to get in return for him. And I think it's also important, you know, to mention these guys are mostly making a lot of money. So, you know, the level of prospects the Phillies are going to want to get back is going to depend to some extent on how much money the other team wants the Phillies to pick up. You know, if the Phillies want a team to pay a lot of Jonathan Papelbon's salary, then they're going to expect better prospects back. If the other team is going to take the whole contract, well, then they probably wouldn't expect to get as good a prospects back. So there really is a sliding scale in there for a team to work with if they want to make a deal with the Phillies.
Boy, maybe the biggest shock for me last night was the crowd, 20,000 at the stadium last night. How about that?
Well, again, we're right back to where we started. Phillies fans are not very patient.
Really? God, boy. All right. But I saw the number. I went, wow, that I didn't expect.
Yeah, the crowds are way down. Going into this year, the season attendance was down 1.1 million over the previous 3 years. So clearly that's been the trend lately.
Well, all right. Paul, thanks so much for the report on the Phillies. And I know we'll talk again as we get closer to July 31st. But it's always a pleasure having you on. And MLB writer and Hall of Fame writer, Paul, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Marty. Appreciate it.
All right. That is Paul Hagan. More coming up right here on KMBR 680, the sports leader.